Hello, my Shadow Squad. I missed you so much. Thank you for tuning in to this week's Shadow Hunters after show here at AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we're going to be breaking down Season 3, Episode 7, titled Salt in the Wound. Ouch. We're going to be talking about crazy exes, crazy current boyfriends, and a possible dead character? I don't know. We have special guest Joshua Butler, who directed the episode and has some answers for us. So please stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello again, Shadow Squad. Thank you for joining us here for the Shadow Hunters After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. I am your host, Sam Davidson. I am joined by my own personal Shadow Squad, Dakota T. Jones.
What is up, you guys? We are so excited to be here and talk about this episode. It was amazing.
And Becca Brown.
Hello, hello. I'm very excited to talk about the episode. A lot happened. So.
Ali Nasta.
I can't wait to discuss, and I'm so thrilled to be with all of you guys. Aww. And especially our special guest,
Joshua Butler.
I'm thrilled to be with you. Thank you so much for having me. This is really cool.
I have interviewed Josh like several times for a lot of my favorite shows, but this is his second episode he has directed. There is a third coming up that he's going to be directing. Ooh. Super exciting. And we love you guys. Becca's in the live chat.
Yes.
Please chat with us. Let us know what you thought, because I have some crazy, crazy things to say. I'll start with you, Allie. What did you think overall of tonight's episode?
Overall, for a second, I forgot that Shadowhunters can come back to life, because I was really thinking that Clary was going to not die, because that can't be possible, but was going to actually have to go to the hospital. Like, yeah. So that was literally my overall thought of the whole episode. But other than that, I'm really excited about where this storyline's going, because I feel like our characters are really coming together. Finally, they have like an exact mission they need to take care of. And I think that's when I get most thrilled about the show.
Becca?
I just think this episode was perfect. It had like moments of everything, like heartwarming moments, heartbreaking moments, had like the violent moments that I was like, and yeah,
you liked it.
I liked it a lot.
It was a good one.
What about Jordan Kyle?
Oh, well, Jordan Kyle. So Josh, this is the first time you've been here this season. Becca has a crush
on Chai Hansen.
Yes. We have all had crushes. Yeah. I've had crushes on basically every person that's come into the studio for Shadowhunters. But Becca, this is the first time she goes, I like him.
Did Chai come in?
No. Not yet.
Oh, yeah, you got to get him in. It's going to be epic. Yeah. He's a sweetheart. He's so great.
This is true. We have to tape this.
We love
just
Chai.
Just the meeting, for sure.
No, yeah. You definitely need that. Yeah. Have cameras rolling.
Oh, yeah.
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 Okay. What about you?
Because if you love him on screen, you love him more in person. I mean, he's just very lovable.
Oh, dang. Yeah.
I honestly thought this episode was great. It was my favorite of the season so far.
Yay!
And so, yes, absolutely. One of the things I was most excited about for the episode was that the beginning scene with Jason Clary was not a dream. Because all the time, you know what I'm saying? All the time, Jace has these dreams. And so when I saw the preview from last week to this week, I was thinking, oh, that's not actually going to happen. And it did.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, so usually when I watch shows, you know how I do bullet points and everything. You guys have my notes. So I will be like, someone's going to die. And, they're dead. And then I have to erase and say, JK, it was a dream. And I did that this time, but it wasn't. It was real. So let's get into that first. I was going to get into that a little bit later, but I think it's important to start it off at the top. So Jace literally throws Clary off of a building.
Yeah.
With her head just sunken into a car. I think that was the most intense moment of Shadowhunters ever for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, well, they're at a very complicated point in their relationship right now.
I mean, we all have that thought in our minds where there's someone we just dislike so much that we're just like, I just wish I could throw him off the building. Jace did that.
But I think what's the hardest thing to watch about this is that how is Jace going to come back from this? Like, she watched the love of her life. She stared him in the eyes and he let go of her and
said,
let her
I love
fall.
You. And he said,
love wasn't enough. What was it like to direct that scene, Josh, to kind of, with both of them? And how was it that you told Dom to feel and to think?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of discussion about the owl. I mean, that would be my my defense, if there is any, for Jace, owl. It's the owl. but you know, we talked a lot about the difference between Jace playing Jace and Jace playing the owl in terms of his physicality, in terms of the way he spoke, in terms of the way he moved. So what was interesting was, not to skip ahead, but there was one scene in this episode, which I'm sure you can guess, where we actually had to deliberately make him be Jace as the owl playing Jace.
Yeah.
To fool someone.
It's like Orphan Black.
Yes,
know?
Exactly. but I mean, the emotions, I think, in that scene are very real, and it's scary, and it's also like when you're hanging on wires off of a, you know, the side of a building. You know, obviously it wasn't a real building, but we had built the facade of it, and there's a green screen, so, you know, mm-hmm. on the top and the bottom where we are able to comp in the rest of the city. So, but the physicality of that is very much exactly what they were doing. I mean, there's no trickery. You know, it's the obviously cat's on a wire, so he's not actually, you know, hurting her,
right.
but that kind of like moment between them, they were playing like, you know, 10 feet off the ground, and so that I think just was awesome to be watching, and sort of like the way that happened was very organic. So
such a cool scene. It was so powerful.
Her on the car too, with her limbs. Did you go around like kind of like moving her limbs to make her look?
there was some choreographing of limbs. Absolutely. Yeah. although the funny thing is, we actually had to do that in advance. Like, I actually had to have Kat go onto the car as if she had fallen, like how she would have fallen, because then they had to basically dent around her. So we had to pre-dent the car, because obviously on set you want to have it already dented. Yeah. So we had one car pre-dent, and then one car pre-dent as in like before the dent.
Yeah.
But there was no dent, and then the next car was the one we pre-dented with Kat's, you know.
Wow.
So the magic of movie making.
Yeah. That is so fun. I love knowing those types of things, because
I really love that. And I mean, I think Kat was so good. I think this is the first time that Clary has realized that maybe this isn't going to work, because I basically almost just died. And speaking of how she came back to life, so maybe I'm being kind of ignorant and I'm forgetting things, but I don't think shadow hunters can necessarily... Some of them... Okay, I get that there is the healing rune, mm-hmm. but I thought the reason she called Simon was so he could give her his blood, but I never saw that exchange. So I don't know. I guess, do you guys know something that I don't remember as far as shadow hunters healing and living? Because they are still human. They are still going to live a normal human. I mean, they're not human, but they're going to live a human life expectancy.
I would have thought that she would have called someone else from the Institute, so that way she could have had like some kind of healing rune or something.
But she called Simon.
Yeah.
Was it because of his vampire blood, or was it because he's Simon?
Maybe because he's Simon.
I thought it was because she was calling her best friend. Like, she, mm-hmm. he was, that just goes to show that he was the first person that she thought to call when she was hurt. Because if it's not Jace, it's Simon. That was what my initial thoughts were.
Do you have any input on that, director?
I think Allie wins this round.
Ding, ding, ding.
Okay.
And Dakota. Yeah, I mean, I not to say you aren't onto something there, but we went with that. That was
so
the BFF / healing rune.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was all the healing rune. It wasn't vampire blood. I've watched too much Vampire Diaries. I don't know what to say. I feel like it taints.
Yeah, I mean, the cross pollen. I mean, I've directed both shows, sometimes I have to remember what rules are what. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And I've recapped all of these shows. So I'm thinking, oh, you drink the blood, you're healed. If I were to get in a car crash, God forbid, I would call a vampire.
A different show.
Yeah.
Well, maybe on this show, but...
I don't think they've brought that up yet. Like, I don't think you can drink vampire blood and be healed.
I jumped the gun on that one.
Because
I just know that from other folklore.
Yeah, but I don't think that that's part of the mythology
Sam's
of this show.
Predicting.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's true in True Blood also, though. Mm-hmm. You know, the same vampire. Okay, cool. I get it. They're just best friends. They love each other. Speaking of best friends, we have a show we really, really, really want to tell you about. It's another podcast by someone we love very dearly. Allie, you want to tell us about it?
Yes. If you guys like to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life, we've got the perfect podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of your life. life, from health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and so much more. Let our Maria be the big sister that you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos. And guys, it's free. Just be sure to rate and comment and let Maria know that the Shadow Squad are the ones that brought you there. Again, that's Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition. Go check it out. Download it. And when you download it, it's on your iTunes. So all you have to do is listen to it in your car. You get your headphones and it's not going to use any of your data, which makes it even more free. It's like almost negatively free, you know? No, like, in a good way.
Positively.
Positively.
Negatively.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so free that it's just, it's like, free, yeah, free. It's like negative dollars.
So
it's
that's
great.
Why you should listen to it in your car on the way home, so that way when you get home, then you can watch Shadowhunters on the free format.
Yes. Exactly. Please, yes. Please do that.
So I actually thought you were going somewhere else with that segue.
Yeah.
Speaking of best friends.
I was, and I still am. But speaking I want to, okay, so it's Jordan Kyle.
Or best fiend.
That is, yes. So we're talking about Jordan Kyle, Becca's boyfriend. Man, I like him. It's bad, right? But I do. I like him a lot. So finally, we get the meet. We were all questioning whether Maya knew. Of course, she did not know. She goes and they meet, and obviously, Jordan Kyle knows that Maya is his girlfriend.
Yeah.
I love this scene. You know what? It's official. Simon's my favorite character. He just is. I think it's like a forever and always he's my favorite character.
He's definitely grown on me. The first season I was like, oh my gosh, can you stop brooding? No! And now I'm like, okay, I love him.
That's just
I'm not
Simon.
Kidding. I was like totally team Clace, and Simon just was constantly brooding about things and like worrying about his family and wanting to be a human again rather than just embracing it. So that's why I love Simon now.
What
he's full
a devil.
On embrace-
what? Him worrying about his family wanting to be human wow. again. Poor 18-year-old Simon. No. Gets turned into a vampire by chasing the girl he loves, has loved his whole life.
Sorry,
and he just
guys.
Wants to be human.
It was just frustrating because constantly, like, there was like this whole like cat and mouse chase with him and Clary. So I'm just glad that he's finally becoming his own, and it's really fun to watch.
Right, but it's not going so well because current girlfriend, roommate. This is the guy that turned Maya into a werewolf. We knew this.
Oh, what?
A werewolf.
It sounds like she said werewolf.
She said werewolf.
You said it. You said it. Remember, I made fun of you a few weeks ago. You go woof.
I know, but you said werewolf.
Yeah, you said werewolf.
Okay, how about, like, Dakota, can you say it? Werewolf.
Werewolf.
No, just say how you say werewolf.
Werewolf.
Woof.
No. Werewolf.
Yeah, you say woof.
No,
woof.
You say werewolf.
Werewolf.
Sorry, I didn't mean to call you out.
Is this an accent situation?
I guess, I don't know.
We just can't say the word.
I know.
None of us can say it. But yeah, he's the guy that turned her. I love these flashbacks. Was it really fun for you, Josh, to do that, to be outside of the shadow world?
To be outside in a freezing Toronto autumn on a beach, I just have to give a complete and... total shout out to Alicia and Wainwright, who made it look warm, but it was freezing as heck. Yes, it was. It was October in Toronto. It's not a walk in the park.
It's
but
not time
but
for
we had heater,
beach
like
weather.
We had a lot of heaters standing by around set, and you know it's like you know, people would throw things over her after every take. But it was great to be outside. In to answer your actual question about being outside of the shadow world, yeah, it's nice to sort of open up the show and see what life was before. You know the intensity of the narrative as it currently is. So,
yeah. This was the first time we've seen like a flashback. That didn't have anything to do with like
the world,
the core, like you know, shadow hunters.
Yes,
this was Maya, who we've all said for a long time we want to know more about her past. We want to know more about her. We want to have more screen time with her, and she has had so much more screen time. So being able to see so much of her life, and even the way that the flashbacks were colored, it was very bright colors and like not in the city.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that was just so.
New Jersey, right?
Yeah,
New Jersey.
It just seems so pure. Like, I loved their relationship. And I'm over here like, you know, I'm rooting for Simon and Maya. And now I'm like, oh,
right?
I
don't know. That was me. I was like, wait, but they're cute. These are so... What happened?
You guys had to throw another ship at us.
Well, like, I mean, this was a big one in the books. Yeah. So to be honest with you, and I think it's Jaya. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's Jaya because it's not Jason.
Well, I'm shipping.
Well, that's I don't know. If you shape Jason Meyer, I don't know what it is. But yeah. I think Jaya is the official Jordan Maya ship.
Well,
yeah.
No, we already have that, though. And they... So Jaya, as far as Jason Maya, was not in the books.
Right.
So they gave it to us too early, and I will always...
So you're
going to
be Jace Maya is your Jaya.
Is Jaya. Because yeah, it was so sexual and exciting.
Yeah. Right. Like, oh, no, I hear you. We have a traffic jam of Jace going on here. So
Kaya? I mean, he's not... he's Jordan Kyle.
Or Morden doesn't work.
Is it just his last name? Does he just have two first names? I don't understand.
I think... Okay.
You have to take their first name and go one or the other. So it's either Morden or Jaya. Or I guess chat. Jiraiya? Jiraiya, maybe?
Look what the chat is saying.
Jiraiya. We'll go with
Jiraiya. I like that.
How about Jiraiya? It's better than Morden.
Allie has a show here at AfterBuzz TV. It's all about ships. And they compete every week.
Yeah, we put basically our favorite TV couples head to head and fight them out in certain categories, and it's on a point score.
So celebrity shipper match.
Yeah, basically. But like TV related ones, so they're not like real couples. So it's kind of fun because you can play around with it. And
Betty. Who's the top ship from Shadowhunters?
Malik.
Of course.
Yeah. So right now I actually competed with them and brought them to the next round. Ooh, so
nice.
Thank you. No, I'm kidding.
Well, back to Maya and Jordan though. So we did see a lot of progression in a very short amount of time, which I really liked, you know. And he turned into a werewolf and then attacked her out of jealousy. It's very sad, and it's sad to see how remorseful he is. Do you guys think it's real?
I mean, I think that he's remorseful, but at the same time, when he just left and it didn't even seem like he ever reached out to her again, that was very messed up. So, like, for him to want to, like, come back into her life, which, you know, was unexpected for him, but, like, him to talk to her, you know, he was trying to leave her a letter again, and she's like, oh, I see you're still a coward. Like, that part made me upset, because I'm like, you literally changed this woman's life, you know, made her into a werewolf. There you go, right?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. That was it.
I heard the L.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, left her and didn't even check up on her. And so I think that I really do like him as a character up until the point of him turning, because he's got so much to learn, and the fact that he just ran off was very immature.
Well, what I wonder is, what was frustrating me is that, okay, great, he's making this whole state to claim, oh, wow, I'm sorry, I apologize, but had Maya never stepped foot in front of that door when it was opened by Simon... Would Jordan Kyle ever have apologized?
No.
Would he have ever searched for her? No. So I'm not going to buy that. You got to, like buy a couple roses, buy her some more Chinese food before she, you know, before she appreciates your apology or accepts it for that matter.
Maybe she's still trying to, like, maybe he's still trying to respect the fact that she is in a current relationship right now. So maybe he doesn't.
But she
want
wasn't
to do
in a
that.
Current relationship when he scratched her in the first place. I will say, I was loving, like, I love their relationship together, and I'm on your bandwagon. I'm so thrilled we got more of Maya.
Do
this
we have any ships
episode.
In there?
And
we
I
don't
would,
have the ship name.
And I wasn't ready to. It's like when you watch a love movie, like a romantic movie, and you're like, oh my gosh, I love this couple. All of a sudden, they get broken up and they never get back together, and you're like, this was terrible. Mm-hmm. That's how I felt about them. But then I'm like, well, I do like Simon for this, and I don't like that he's. I don't like that Jordan's being selfish.
Mm-hmm. On one hand, I sympathize with Jordan a little bit because he was like a kid. And he was scared.
A kid?
Like, how do you, but like, okay, how do you like...
They were 18.
Face up to it.
How do you direct a character like that? You know, you feel sorry and remorseful, but you also knew you were just going through something and he probably wouldn't have done it any other way.
It was a very that was a very fine line, I think, to walk with Jordan, because you don't want him to not have any redeeming qualities and be totally unsympathetic after scratching Maya, you know. And it's tough because, you know, it's how far can you go with that before you really just like don't even forgive him for the rest of time? Because obviously, you know, he's an important part of this narrative now. So you know, it's very much a tightrope walk, you know. And ideally it sounds like it worked, because none of you have said, you know, I think Jordan is unredeemable, which is good. That was the goal.
100%. You guys did that, and it was amazing. It came off great, because I did want him to redeem. I'm like, you better fight for it, because I want to see you around the storyline. Right. Like, but you're not getting off that easy. But he definitely has that fight for it quality.
By the way, can we talk about
dating?
Can we talk about the fact that this was the first time on Freeform that I've ever seen someone's butt? Like, he was naked.
What butt?
Yes. Nuh-uh.
He was naked laying in the field.
I can name an episode of a show or that. Okay.
We didn't see him.
We're not going to get into that.
We saw a curve.
It wasn't a crack, but it was a butt.
Oh my gosh, Dakota.
We took that right up to the edge of what standards and practices would allow. So yeah, so that was that was tough to shoot. I mean, just to get the right position where you say, okay, he's naked, but he's not like showing things that you can't show in Freeform.
Yeah.
So, and Chai, he's such a good sport. So like, but that thing was like literally like, okay, move your right leg 2 inches to the left and then like raise it just a little bit. And your right foot. If you listen to the dailies, it's hysterical because I'm just trying to shout like just like millimeters.
He's like contorting his body.
Yeah, it's so like, wild.
Just because I'm personally interested on how Freeform goes about this. So he has to be mostly nude, but he has certain things that will cover up certain things so that way he's safe and like doesn't have to be out there for all the crew members, right? I mean, like,
right. And actually that shot, we because it was freezing at night in Toronto, yeah, we rebuilt on a soundstage with heaters all around that section of the mud. So just so you know, like we took care of him so he wasn't freezing cold.
That's good.
And then when he stands up, and then we're out in the actual location because he obviously had to be. But
Dakota's just trying to prepare for his future.
I'm just like, in case I ever have to be naked in a show, I just want to know if I'm covered or if I'm not, you know?
Well, yeah, they have special, like, you know, costume.
Yeah,
they have
elements.
Special things for you people. Okay. Let's talk about Ollie.
Yes.
God, such a stupid, just, I don't want to say woman. I mean, it was just, it's like going into a cave of vampires and saying, I'm fine, I'm protected because I was semi-bit by one once, but they won't kill me anymore. Like, so stupid. I mean, she should have known better. I'm so annoyed. I would have known better. Okay.
Well, I think, and she got a lot of warning from Luke.
Yes.
So I'm just thinking, but this was the perfect setup for the character that she's portraying now, because now we have the perfect, you know, puppet for Lilith. And I think that's we kind of needed that, because I think if it were to be anybody else that was that close to our corner besides Jace, who's already kind of in this, it would make us all a little upset. And I think with Ollie, they needed that kind of like, all right, well, she was kind of on her way to this anyway, so it makes the most sense for her now to be in complete control. But I understand what you're saying. It doesn't really make sense because Luke's warned you about this. He said to go far, far away. It's not going to be safe for your family. And then look where we are.
She killed her mother. Dead.
Boom.
And then I thought the scene was really powerful, though, with her and Luke behind the closed doors. I'm sorry, with Sam and Luke, her partner.
Yeah.
And that was so powerful. It was almost as though he was telling her she was dead.
Mm-hmm.
Was that similar to kind of what you told them to do? Like, how did that work out?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting because the set has that corridor. And I thought it was an interesting choice directorially to sort of get them out there and not go out there and hear exactly what was being said. I mean, we recorded it, but, you know, and it's low, but really it's all about the physicality of Luke telling her, because it's obviously something we know as viewers and see all the time, but I just thought it was more of an interesting way of sort of suggesting that. But yes, I mean, obviously he could easily have told her she's dead, you know, and that, you know, I think, that was the emotion that we were trying to convey. But again, trying to sort of stay, I think, in that scene. For me, it was more about Simon seeing it than about being out there. So hopefully that choice worked. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely did.
I feel so bad for Sam. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so... I mean, it was just so heartbreaking. And then once she slapped Isaiah, you could see in her eyes, she's like, oh my gosh, I did that, but I'm still mad, you know?
Did a great job with that. Yeah, really did.
Well, we get another really interesting piece of information. Okay, so Lilith is Adam and Eve, his first wife.
Wait, hold on.
Lilith. Okay, she of Adam and Eve, you know, the first people in the world.
Yeah.
He had a first wife named Lilith.
who got cast out. Yeah.
Yeah, and sent away. That's who she is.
Wait, is this biblical?
No, they. Well, no, they said this on the show. Yeah. I don't.
You know, you go to a hotel room sometimes, and you open the drawer to the side of the bed. They have these books there.
Yeah, it's in the. Wait, I mean, is it?
Like,
it,
he's you've like, just opened
is
it.
Is this Mormon or is this like? I'm interested.
I think this is like Shadowhunters.
Christian and you know crosses into Judaism because it's the first five.
Wait, books. Is there really a Lilith in the?
Because like I thought, I mean, well, Adam and Eve are the first two.
She's
like,
the devil. Lilith? She's the
I don't
devil.
Know if Lilith's in the Bible, but the Adam thing you're talking about, that's all based on the Bible story.
His
but
first
I think,
wife.
I'm not 100% sure, but I think Lilith is a whole invention by other very creative people.
Okay, because I'm over here like I'm a Christian and I'm like I've read the Bible.
I don't think you're gonna find it. No, but in terms of the Adam and Eve thing,
there's a Wikipedia page.
Oh,
about like Lilith. Yeah, in there,
came,
and it
who
says,
came
like,
up
biblical
with Lilith the first time?
Well, she's Archaeology been in Society.
She was on True Blood. Lilith. There was a Lilith on True Blood.
Yeah,
as
but
well.
I mean, I'm curious. Is there like some sort of a reference
in the Bible?
There's a lot of Torah, Bible. I just typed in Lilith in Bible Adam on Google, and there's a lot that comes up about like the Bible. And,
so it is definitely mythology. Something based off in
of. Yeah, based in actual
from
mythology.
A long, long time ago. You mean real life, you know? I always get mad when people debate about religion, and I go, why are we fighting about magic you think happened like a billion years ago? I'm so confused. Mm-hmm. We are human beings that don't have magic. Like, why are we all debating about, I just don't get it. We don't know. We don't know. Sorry, that's just my religion speech, but I mean, it pours into the show. I still don't understand it. I understand it more on this show when I watch it and I go, oh, cool, I see her. She's Lilith. She's devilish. She definitely spawns from
she
him.
She is. The whole thing she has with that thing that's like the, altar with the blood in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is so creepy. When she took her nail and like sliced open her throat.
Yeah.
I'm no. Too
kind of reminds me of Angelina Jolie. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Oh, Anna Hopkins. Yeah. She's got that vibe. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Inquisitor Herondale. Oh. What is her full name again? I always forget. Like
Gia Penhallow.
Well, the actress.
Oh, yes.
But I used to call her something last season that was an Inquisitor Herondale, or maybe I did. I don't know.
No, you're talking about Mimi. I'm sorry. I'm just thinking of Gina Panhallow. No, Mimi.
Yeah.
Who plays Jocelyn.
No,
Jocelyn's
dead.
Not Jocelyn. I'm Jocelyn. Getting this wrong. Imogen. Played
Thank
by Mimi.
You.
There you go.
Yes.
Imogen.
Thank you.
A lot of names to remember for the show. Yeah.
It's like when you go home from a party after you got in big trouble and you go, we just got to tell mom the truth. It's like, there's no other option. We just got to come clean. So they tell her what happened to Jace. And she's kind of going around some loopholes, even though she shouldn't. What is it, Becca?
Wait, but Alec covered for Clary.
Oh, yes. Well,
that was huge.
That was a beautiful moment that Alec covered
for
Clary.
That was amazing. Because I was like,
he's the best. He's the best of, he's the perfect person to run the Institute because he has a heart.
But they've progressed a lot since the first season, if you think about it.
Well, absolutely.
Which, are we going to talk about that really quick?
Yes.
Can we now, or are we going to get into it?
Can we now? About Jason.
About Jason Alec.
You mean Jason Alec, or are you talking about Clary and Alec?
Clary and Alec. Sorry.
I was like, wait, sorry.
No.
Clary and Alec.
It is so many names. Our engineer a couple of weeks ago said,
I know.
You guys had so much fun, but like sometimes I don't know what you're talking about. And I go, it's literally 10 main characters.
Yeah.
10.
Which I think is
more
now.
With Clary and Alec, we were all waiting for that moment when Alec was going to, everybody was preparing for him to freak out and like banish her.
Right.
And he didn't.
And he hugged her.
And he hugged her, and that was such a beautiful moment. Was there anything specific that you guys were pulling in that moment? Because that's kind of a show stopper, because we've all been wondering, you know, Alec has always been a little jealous of Clary and Jace's relationship, mm-hmm. and this is the one moment he's like, it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, that whole scene, the way we tried to stage it and make it work was to make it as suspenseful as possible when he walks around the table, like you don't know what he's gonna do.
Yeah.
You know, and then like any good, you know, character sort of beat, you know, he goes against your expectations. And yeah, I mean, it was definitely designed to be that way. So I kept sort of, my direction was always about, you know, making it as drawing out the moment as much as possible so that you would have more of an emotional punch when he does hug her, because you don't expect that.
Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh.
It was a great moment.
We also had Izzy. Did you see how Izzy was so mad? And that's what we did not expect. Uh-huh.
Well, because she asked, and she was like, you could have asked for anything. And, like, world hunger, world peace, like, to end all of that, and like, whatever. And then Claire was like,
okay, the thing is Izzy would have done the same thing if it was her brother.
Uh-huh.
Or if it was Jace, I think. Or if it was Clary. They all, and honestly, if it was Alec and Clary in that situation, I think he might have done it for her, too.
Yeah. Probably. Well, and I think I was really happy that Alec did say, I would have done the same thing. Because in a real society as anybody, I mean, any of us would sacrifice anything to save our best friend or brother or sister or loved one. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So it was a very down-to-earth moment. Because if he were to get mad, that just doesn't make sense. Because in the whole show, they're all constantly trying to protect one another. You know? So that one moment that you have the Almighty there to do grant whatever wish, like, of course anybody would take it. So I'm really glad they like, the script was able to, and the books are able to, like, kind of, like, make that a streamline.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, back to poor Inquisitor Heron.
Yes, sorry.
Oh, man.
No, don't be sorry.
Imogen.
Imogen, Inquisitor Heron.
Yes.
Imogen. Okay, so again, my question. I don't understand, apparently, the fatality rules of this show. So Jace goes in there as the owl, tries to see his parents' grave, you know, talks her into it, but she already knows what's going on. And she's letting him in. He stabs her. It seems like she died.
Yeah, I mean, she died.
There was debate in the chat earlier. I'm trying to find
it. See, I was wondering that, too, because after Clary had gone on the car, I'm thinking, whoa, something serious has happened. She's going to have to go into the hospital. And then I saw she was perfectly fine. So when I saw that she was stabbed, I'm like, oh, she's fine. Like, she's going to come back to life.
But so she tried with her rune. She tried to do a rune?
Well, no, she was doing the fire message. So, you know, but it's interesting you said that, because I think that was something we were just debating on set. Because ultimately it's like she had to be still alive to send the fire message, but then you wanted to believe that that was her very last breath and she was dying.
Yeah.
And that there was nobody around to heal her, you know, that she was just left alone. And whatever the healing window you had
was closed.
Yeah. That was the idea.
Because, I mean, with Clary, I totally got it. Like, yes, she fell from a tall building, but at the same time... She didn't get impaled by a sword. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that he did it was... three different directions.
And then cut off her thumb and her finger.
That was a lot.
I'm like, can't you just take the keys away
from her? On Twitter when that happened. I was like, okay. I can't. Crazy. Everyone was like, all these gifts of people vomiting. It was funny.
Well, okay. All I have to say is that Jace... Man, I don't think that he's going to be able to come back from this. I think it's going to be extremely difficult. But they finally catch him in the Malachi configuration. And then Clary puts them at Magnus's apartment. What's the word when you just
portal through
the portal to Magnus's? And she's taking the blame, so she's being walked away. And I don't really know what's going to happen.
Can I ask you guys a question? I was a little confused because when they were like coming to, you know, they're like, hey, stop that. Like the police, the Clave was coming to come get Clary. Were they thinking that she's the one that did this to the Inquisitor or?
No, they're thinking she's the one who was trying to dig up Valentine's grave.
Oh, okay. That's all I was wondering because I was confused. Right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, you'll see.
He's like, maybe, possibly.
So. Well, yeah, but I mean, for now, you know, you can think what you want to think.
Josh knows a lot more about the shadow world than we do, but I also think sometimes you still might be a bit confused, right?
Yeah, I mean,
it's
sure.
Confusing.
There's a lot going on.
There's so many people, at least with the Vampire Diaries, I mean, I feel like there was a core... You know, it turned into more later, but...
I mean, not only that, but whenever he goes in for his episodes to direct, he's caught up and he knows everything because he has to direct that episode so everything goes smoothly. But in between episodes, I'm sure while they're taping the other ones, you may not know exactly what's going on. So then when you get on set again, you kind of have to get caught up real quick.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Well, yeah. Luckily, I have a week and a half to prep the episode. So right. That's when I do my Shadows Hunters homework.
And you're like, okay, now tell me
everything. What happened between episode 307 and 318? Oh, okay. And then sometimes I get to see at least the cuts of the shows that were finished. But most of the time, you know, the last three shows are still being edited, so right. I have to read the scripts and there's so much to remember on the show with the terminology and the amount of characters, obviously, but also you know when I talk about parabatized to people, you know, and then they don't know the show, you know, now for me it's like a word I use all the time, and you're like, oh, I get it, must work on the show.
When we came back this season, it's been such a long time since the last season. And when we started talking about parabatized, I was like, wow, feels good to say that word.
Yeah.
That's a good word. Yeah.
I haven't said that word in so long. Okay, so we're going to do a new thing every week for the rest of the season where we talk about our fangirl / fanboy moment of the week. I'll start you guys off.
You need to have some sort of music that kicks in there.
We will.
Fanboy moment.
Dakota? Dakota's going to sing.
This is the fangirl / fanboy moment of the week.
That's great. We just sampled that and played it. That's really good.
It was creepy enough. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Mine was this very small moment when Clary held Simon's hand. She thought she might be taking her last breath. She doesn't know. Well, she probably knows she's going to be saved. But she wanted him there, potentially, for her last breath. I think things could change in the future from the books, and they could be a thing again. What about you, Dakota?
I like that one. My fanboy moment of the week was whenever we didn't know how is Alec going to react to this, and he came around the corner and hugged her. That was a very special moment, and I was like watching alone at my house, and I remember going, what? And the people that I live with are like, are you okay? In the other room. So I thought that was a great moment, and I just love that.
Mine was all the Jordan Kyle moments.
Of course.
Hi. Any moment when he was on screen, really.
Becca Jordan Kyle is your new name. Huh? Becca Jordan Kyle here at AfterBuzz TV. Yes.
Okay. I think that my fangirl moment of the week was when Magnus and Alec embraced and hugged, and they both, like, and Malik basically is feeling this big heap of guilt, but at one moment he did this thing with his neck where he, like, released.
Yeah.
And
noticed. Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. He released and it was like for a moment with all of whatever's going on, it was like their fight didn't matter for that second. And that was really exciting because it's like you still see their love and their connection. So that was my moment that I was really excited for, because I'm like, I know that they're going to last, but I needed to see that visually on screen. So that came across amazing.
Yeah, that makes me feel good.
Would that be your
fanboy? That would be my fanboy moment of the week. Yeah, the little bit of a lean, which I directed them to
lean
attempt.
God damn it.
Yes. No, I mean, I felt that would be something that might be emotional given that fight and the weight of it.
Totally. Yeah,
it was so real and so slight. Mm-hmm. It wasn't big and dramatic. Like, it was like just like this. It was perfect. It was great.
Just needs some comfort.
Well, that's what makes me feel good, that those little nuances are actually being appreciated.
So yes,
of course. Absolutely. And those are the little moments that we're all kind of seeking for, that especially in a relationship that has so much tension right now because they've been fighting. So it's like a sign of a glimpse of hope for all of us. Stress, and we know that Magnus is going to do whatever he needs to do for the Shadow Squad.
Shadow Squad. Well, let's get into some predictions for the Shadow Squad here for next week. I think it's going to be a crazy one.
Oh, my gosh.
I am thinking so, too.
Oh, you have a thing for this.
See, this is the voice I was mimicking.
Yes. Oh, right. Yeah, there you go.
Dakota was like the dead, scary version
That's
of that.
That's true.
Actually, I am. That's what I sound like.
Well, this sounds very ominous. Yeah. I mean, it's the lights and everything.
Predictions for the end of the world. Ali Nesta, you first.
I honestly think that regardless of whatever's going on between Maya and Jordan Kyle, I think they're going to get back together in the end. And I, like I said, guys, I am reading the books, but I'm not caught up to whatever's happening now yet. So I don't know. But that's where my hope is lying, especially because I don't see Jordan Kyle leaving the storyline just yet. And also, he's been a huge fan favorite. So I don't know. Probably the writers might keep him in even if he's not in the books. So I'm thinking that's going to happen. And I think that Simon is going to lean into Clary and be there for her because she's going through a lot right now. And, like, the love of her life is not no longer. He's a facade right now. It's just a body, no soul. So those are my two kind of predictions.
I was going to say, I think that Simon, based on the scene with Lilith's disciples,
yes,
is going to be like our hero eventually or something. I don't know.
Oh, he's a hero.
Oh, he's already my hero. Oh my gosh, we didn't even talk about that. How Simon, like, the Daylighter, is he can basically fight any type of demon.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
In the preview for next week, she goes to the Sealy Queen. Lilith does.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that. That's going to be bad. Like, that's going to be powerful. Like, those two hooking, or not hooking up, but like,
hooking up. Dakota.
That's going to be crazy. But my quick prediction is that out of all of this, the ships that are going to happen is Jordan, Kyle, and Maya are going to get back together. Simon and Izzy are going to finally start maybe seeing each other. And then Clary is not going to want to go back to Jace after a while because it's awkward. So she's finally going to go, oh, maybe I'll go to Simon's door and knock on his door and, like, maybe we'll be together. And then you know, the door will open. Ooh. And Izzy's, like, sprawled out on the bed, like, oh. You know. That's my prediction.
Izzy has her whip and she's like, what the hell did I just walk into here? Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. No, Sam. Oh,
mine. Sorry, guys. Freeform, but we saw like a quarter of a butt tonight. So
I would say it was a good half of a butt.
Okay, a good half butt. So anything is possible.
Jeez, these minds.
Whatever. I think Jace, I mean, he's already been in a dark hole. How much darker can the dude get? He just needs to go to a desert island and just
save himself.
I think he's gonna try to take himself out of the situation. Because he thinks that he's going to be more harm than anything to anyone that he loves. So I feel like he's in a way going to exile himself and not want to be a shadow hunter anymore and not want to be part of this world. And that Clary, I love your prediction. I'm just going to jump on board
you
with
like that.
I do like that. Yeah.
You like that?
Well, now you made it weird, Allie. But yes, I do.
Does anybody watch football? Redskins, you like that?
Oh, well,
that's not what we.
No, I don't watch football.
We're not football queens here, so.
Obviously, he can't give us a prediction. But what I want to know is, obviously, Alec killed Clary's mother a long time ago.
Oh, right.
And he was able to be redeemed after that. Do you personally think that after what Jace did to Clary and also killing Herondale, do you think that he's going to be redeemable, or do you think that that's too dark? He can't come back from that.
Well, I think you have to take the fact that Jace is the owl. I think you've got to, like, look at that.
Okay.
That Lilith has, you know, got Jace in command. So I personally have sympathy for the guy still. Okay. I mean, despite the fact, because, yeah, I mean, and I love what Clary says. My other fanboy moment of the week, I guess, would be when Clary says, you know, I know you're still in there, Jace.
Yeah.
Yes.
Know,
okay.
You know, if you ship Clay's, that to me was a good moment.
Oh, you're a Clay shipper too, just like Gally. Yeah. You heard it here. Well, thank you guys all. What is it?
Monisha says Jace needs a spa day.
Jace needs a spa day. Yeah.
Ah, yes.
I just see him like being on a nudist island. I don't know. That's just with all these women. Wow, it is. That's crazy. Anyways, thank you all so much for tuning in. We love you guys so much. Please rate, review, subscribe. Where can everyone find you on social media, Joshua Butler?
I'm the Joshua Butler, given that somebody took Joshua Butler before I got on social media. But yes, here we are, the Joshua Butler.
Well, please follow him because he also has an episode next, or 2B, 3B.
3B.
3B,
3B. Yes.
3B. We'll have him back on.
I'll be here.
Yes.
Dakota, where can they find you?
You guys can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at Mr. Dakota T. Jones.
Y'all can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Becca B. Talks TV.
Hey guys, Allie Nasta here. Find me on Twitter at Allie Nasta and on Instagram at Allie Girl.
And you guys can find me, Sam Davidson, at SamD43 on Twitter and Instagram and at SamDavidsonEntertainment.com. We love you and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com.
I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.